Funding for this podcast comes from MathWorks, creators of MATLAB and Simulink software, accelerating the pace of engineering and science. Learn more at MathWorks.com.
Mom deserves the best, and there's no better place to shop for Mother's Day than Whole Foods Market. They're your destination for unbeatable savings, from premium gifts to show-stopping flowers and irresistible desserts. Start by saving 33% with Prime on all body care and candles. Then get a 15-stem bunch of tulips for just $9.99 each with Prime. Round out Mom's menu with festive rosé, irresistible berry chantilly cake, and more special treats. Come celebrate Mother's Day at Whole Foods Market.
From WBUR Boston and NPR, I'm Tom Ashbrook, and this is On Point. The Ray Rice story has put domestic violence on everyone's mind this week, far beyond the NFL, across all lines of race, class, gender. So has his then-fiancé, now-wife, Janae Rice's reaction to the uproar. The hashtags Why I Stayed and Why I Left have blown up this week. Everybody has a story. This hour On Point, domestic violence all over and the dynamics around it, inside it, with the woman who launched the hashtags. You can join us on air or online where this conversation is always on. Have you been down this road? How did you survive? Join us anytime at onpointradio.org or on Twitter and Facebook at On Point Radio. Before I turn to my guest this hour, I want to play a striking piece of tape for you. You may have heard it last night. The cloud of Janae and Ray Rice's story hung all over last night's Thursday night football broadcast. CBS dropped from the show the song Run This Town, performed by Jay-Z and Rihanna, and show anchor James Brown delivered a powerful 90-second soliloquy on domestic violence. We're going to play the whole thing for you right now.
I challenge the NFL community and all men to seriously confront the problem of domestic violence, especially coming on the heels of the murder-suicide of Kansas City Chiefs football player Jovan Belcher and his girlfriend Cassandra Perkins. Yet, here we are again, dealing with the same issue of violence against women. Now, let's be clear. This problem is bigger than football. There has been, appropriately so, intense and widespread outrage following the release of the video showing what happened inside the elevator at the casino. But wouldn't it be productive if this collective outrage, as my colleagues have said, could be channeled to truly hear and address the long-suffering cries for help by so many women? And as they said, do something about it, like an ongoing comprehensive education of men about what healthy, respectful manhood is all about. And it starts with how we view women. Our language is important. For instance, when a guy says, you throw the ball like a girl, or you're a little sissy, it reflects an attitude that devalues women. And attitudes will eventually manifest in some fashion. Women have been at the forefront in the domestic violence awareness and prevention arena. And whether Janae Rice considers herself a victim or not, millions of women in this country are. Consider this. According to domestic violence experts, more than 3 women per day lose their lives at the hands of their partners. That means that since the night of February 15th in Atlantic City, more than 600 women have died. So this is yet another call to men to stand up and take responsibility for their thoughts, their words, their deeds, and as Dion says, to give help or to get help, because our silence is deafening and deadly.
Anchor CBS from CBS James Brown there before the football game last night. That is not a speech that you have ever heard before an NFL game. We did last night. It's bigger than the NFL. Joining me now from Charlotte, North Carolina is Beverly Gooden. As the public outcry over Ray and Janae Rice stories unfolded on TV online, she started to get angry. So with one tweet, she launched the hashtag Why I Stayed movement. An ocean of people, mainly women, have responded to tell their story in 140 characters or less, why they stayed and why they left abusive relationships. Beverly Gooden, welcome to On Point. Thank you very much for being here.
Thank you for having me, Tom.
The headlines are so big, the video is so strong, but somehow with this hashtag, Why I Stayed, and also hashtag Why I Left, you've managed to pry the lid off a little bit and try to get inside these relationships. We're going to look at this relationship and what we learned from the news this week, but what is it that you were trying to get at, Beverly, and the many, many people, mainly women but not only, who responded are trying to tell us about these relationships with all of their hashtag contributions online?
Well, when I saw the initial response to the full elevator video, it was overwhelmingly targeted at Mrs. Rice. So it was, why did she stay? Why didn't she leave? I would never stay with someone who hit me. I saw tweets calling her stupid and an idiot, and, you know, she must like it, and she must want the abuse, and it made me angry. It reminded me of the situation that I had been in. And I just, without thinking, without, you know, trying to do anything, I just shot off a tweet that explained, you know, in detail why I stayed. And it just kind of took off from there.
What most people, I mean, the first response here has been to go after the problem itself. You know, you heard James Brown right there. Think about this, everybody. Think about this. Men, don't do this. That's been the first reaction. Interesting to me that there was so much sort of jumping on here from this other angle. Let's understand what goes on inside these relationships before we get judgmental in every direction.
Yeah, I mean, I think one of the things that people don't understand about an abusive relationship is that you feel trapped. Because you can't talk about it with the abuser, and you can't talk about it with your friends or family without knowing they'll twist your arm to leave. So you literally have people telling you what to do from all angles. And it's easy to get lost in that. It's easy for your own voice to get lost in that.
Isn't the abuse the issue, though?
The abuse is the issue. However, the victim did not victimize herself. So saying, why didn't she leave, and you know, why did she stay, is putting the blame on the victim for her abuse. The question is, why did he abuse? Why did he hit her? Why did she hit him? The question should always be focused on the person who committed the crime as opposed to the victim.
But there's complexity here, too, and extracting oneself from these situations can be incredibly challenging. Give us a sense of the kind of comment that your hashtags have elicited online, if you can, Beverly. Hashtag why I stayed. Hashtag why I left.
There have been so many, and I think it's a beautiful thing. It's also, you know, a sad thing that so many people are going through this or have been through this. And some of my favorite ones came from a few people. One woman said, people who say, why doesn't she leave, don't know anything about domestic violence. The night I left my husband, he had a gun to my head. Another woman said, I thought I could heal their wound.
That is their spouse's or their abuser's wound.
Yes, yes. Another woman said, before you know it, everything is in his name and he can take it away when he's mad. Everything meaning, you know, the house, the car, the anything, you know, especially if you're financially dependent on your abuser. It's really hard to break from that because you don't have any resources. You don't have anywhere to go. And it seems daunting, you know, when you're used to a way of life. Another person said it felt embarrassing to know it was happening because of internalized victim blaming. You're too smart for that. Another person said, because every time was the last time.
That's what they were told. It's complicated. I'm reading a bunch of these online. They're kind of amazing. Lulu wrote, hashtag why I stayed, because I was taught no one else was going to love me. Hashtag why I left, because I had to learn to love myself. Or Tartan wrote here, again, in response to what you started. She said, hashtag why I stayed, because people left or quit or stopped talking to me when I told them about the abuse. Why I left, because I realized I couldn't become more alone than I was. When this first came out, people were talking about it. Janae Palmer was talking about it. Janae Palmer at the time of the abuse. Ray Rice had made a public statement about it, saying he was sorry. His wife, Janae, came out, and, well, you can hear her talking about her role in the incident and her hopes for the relationship. This is back in May at a press conference.
I do deeply regret the role that I played in the incident that night, but I can say that I am happy that we continue to work through it together, and we are continuing to strengthen our relationship and our marriage and do what we have to do for not only ourselves collectively, but individually, and working on being better parents for Raven and continue to be good role models for the community like we were doing before this.
Beverly, here, what are you hearing that statement from May? She's kind of saying, I'm partly responsible here. Don't pay too much attention. Move on. We'll deal with this. That is not where this has gone.
Yeah, I hear myself in that statement. The interesting thing is that is the exact same thing I would have said 4 years ago. I would have said precisely what she said. We're working it out. This is, you know, an issue for us. I love him. I'm sticking by him. We're going to be better people. Our love is real. Those are all things I wouldn't say. And I think it really points to the fact that, you know, especially when people ask, why did she stay? You know, we're already taking some of the guilt and the blame. And so when other people also pile it on, it just gets more cloudy.
And then this week, Janae writing, if you're to the world, really, and the media in particular, if your intentions were to hurt us, embarrass us, make us feel alone, take all happiness away, you've succeeded on so many levels. She has not said thank you for airing my problem.
Right. The thing about it is she didn't, I feel for Janae because she didn't, well, one, she is the, you know, she didn't hit herself. She is the one that experienced the crime.
Yeah, yeah.
And number two, it was exposed by someone else. So not only was she victimized by the person who, you know, offended her, she's kind of also been victimized, you know, by the person that released the full video. While it's, you know, good that we know exactly what happened, the thing about women who are in these relationships and want to stay is we try to work it out on our own. So if we're forced, you know, into the public with our story or our situation, it puts us on the defense. I mean, so, you know, it's a complex situation. It's very sensitive and complex and hard and difficult. And I understand why she said that. I was there too.
I'm Tom Ashbrook. This is On Point. We're talking this hour about Janae Rice, Ray Rice, domestic violence all over, and the dynamics around it, inside it. Beverly Gooden is with us from Charlotte, North Carolina. She started the hashtag Why I Stayed movement in response to the Renee and Janae Rice story. 140 characters or less, an awful lot of people, women largely, but not only, explaining some of the inside dynamics of abusive relationships. Beverly was in an abusive relationship herself for a couple of years before she did leave in 2010. She works in Charlotte as a HR manager for a nonprofit. It's been partly an NFL story this week. CBS This Morning, NFL Commissioner Roger Goodell was asked if the league has a domestic violence problem.
One case is too many. One. What we have to do is go back and say, if we have one case, that's something we've got to address. If we have multiple cases, we have to change our training and our education to try to eliminate that issue.
The NFL in trouble out front this week, but we all know this is way bigger than the NFL. You can't draw a line around this one. Beverly Gooden, stand by in Charlotte with us right now from Washington. Kevin Blackistone joins us, sports writer, frequent panelist on ESPN's Around the Horn, professor of journalism at the University of Maryland, and just a great observer of what goes on in this country and this world. Kevin Blackstone, thanks very much for being with us.
Thanks, Tom.
And with us from Pittsburgh, Lori McDonald joins us, president and CEO of the Center for Victims in Pittsburgh. They run a domestic violence shelter called Women's Place, McKeesport. She's worked for 12 years with victims of domestic violence and has paid a lot of attention to the professional football realm in particular, though not only. Lori McDonald, thank you for being with us.
Thanks, Tom. Thanks for having me and for give us an opportunity to speak to the victim's voice.
Lori, you must have seen the way these hashtags have gotten so big. There is clearly an unslaked thirst to talk about this, the dynamics of why people stay, why they go. What is it that we're not hearing from the community of the abused?
Well, Beverly has said it so well, and so many other women who've been abused. It's very embarrassing. It's a hard thing to talk about, and yet people have passed so much judgment. And what disturbs me about so many of these comments and so forth is just their lack of compassion for somebody who really is in a very untenable situation.
Comments about why did you stay? Why didn't you get out of there?
Right.
I mean, I'm reading here at Answers that came in with the hashtag why I stayed. Here's one from Tracy. And again, it's unbelievable, Beverly, what you uncorked here. Tracy wrote, this is all on Twitter. Why? Years of shattered self-esteem and being told it was my fault. I thought I deserved it. Carrie writes, why I stayed? He said no one would love me like he did. I finally realized that this wasn't love, and so it became the reason to hashtag why I left. Katha writes here, he told me he loved me, and I didn't really love him if I didn't stay. The flip side of that, hashtag why I left, it wasn't love. He just needed someone to abuse. Kevin Blackstone, when you hear these, we know there are millions of stories in this country that are infused with this sadness and horror and feeling of being trapped.
Yeah, and I'm just glad that this show is taking the conversation back to where it should be, which is about the women who suffer in these situations. And not, as one of my students pointed out yesterday, and the entire class is riveted to this story, and so we had to talk about it, how the discussion has now drifted from domestic violence and what it means and how prevalent it is, what a scourge on society it is, to talking about one man who runs one corporation and what this really means for that corporation's profit line. This is where the discussion should be. And, you know, I thought that, you know, one of the interesting things about this is how, once again, sports has, if there's anything good about what happened, it's that sports has brought this into a national conversation. It shouldn't have taken this long, but it has taken this long. And I was talking the other day on air, and I pointed out to the person I was talking to that, you know, just earlier this year, we had the case with the CEO of Radium One, which is a large tech company, who was found guilty of beating his girlfriend, hit her 117 times. There was also video evidence of it that they tried to suppress.
You're saying rich and poor and high and low and athlete and non-athlete, you name it, it's all over.
It's all over, and I've talked to women who run organizations like Lori McDonald's, and you know, the first thing they tell you is the abuser has no profile. He or she comes from every walk of life, every race, every economic group, on down the line. And so one of my concerns about this whole story is how it has become a focus all of a sudden just on the NFL and just on football players, and people may have lost sight of the fact that it is everywhere.
I guess the NFL deserves no exemption, but then there are a lot of ways to look here. This hashtag, if you haven't gone to it on Twitter, it's really worth a look. Just person after person, and again, mainly women, not only, but hashtag why I stayed, hashtag why I left. Molly writing, hashtag why I stayed, he said he'd never do it again. Hashtag why I left, he did it two more times. Island girl writing, why I stayed, his tears had me thinking he was really sorry. Why I left, the abuse never stopped. It only got worse. Christina in Buffalo, New York is calling. Hi, Christina, you're on the air.
Hi, Tom. It's an emotional, topic for me, but honestly, I've gone to, domestic violence shelters, everything like that, and for one, those places are not good places for women to go. I mean, I brought my kids there a couple times and have walked out and literally had to go back, you know, because they're not, I don't know if nobody's ever been to one, but they're really not the nicest places in the world, you know, and, they're very secure, and they're—I don't know—they're not really set up right for women that are in situations for domestic violence. Like, it's almost like you go to a more depressing place.
Did you finally leave, Christina? Or are you still in the relationship?
I did, and I'm single, and I'm happy. And I left because I was forced to leave. Like, I actually went postal and went back, but his dad was in law enforcement, everything. I was actually scared to leave. It took me a long time. It took me until I ended up in jail and I lost my kids. Like, you have to remember what's more important, your children, because the reason I was in these situations, my parents weren't abusive, but I was spanked, and you almost become addicted to your, I don't know how to say it, like being punished.
Your childhood, what you're familiar with. How did you go postal? What happened, Christina?
I, like, ran him off the road. He took my daughter, and he put her in the car, like, put her on the bed of the, put her in the truck on the floor. She was a baby, and I ran him off the road in my car. He beat me up. I got in the car, and I ran him off the road, and I had a lot of charges, but I come from a great community. Everybody knew, and they gave me a second chance, and when I got done with all my court stuff and I got my daughter, I left, and I really am happy now. I'm very happy, and I'm single, and I have a lot of friends that get abused, and I've seen them go into shelters, and they come right back because there really is no support. You guys said it yourselves. Women are actually the most evil in this situation. They see their friends getting abused, and they walk away, or they don't have any empathy at all, and it's sad because wait till you're in a situation where your husband's a law enforcement officer or he does own everything and you have nothing and, you know, you don't have your parents, you have nowhere to go, and then you have the only place you have to go are these shelters, and they're disgusting. They really are disgusting.
I hope they're not all, but I hear that, Christina, and I'm glad you got out safe and sound, and I appreciate your call. If I may, let me take it to Beverly Gooden, who launched the hashtag Why I Stayed, Why I Left movement. I mean, Beverly, there's that word community coming up again here, but what I read in these hashtags is an awful lot of women not feeling community when they're in the depth of their crisis around abuse.
Definitely. You definitely feel like you're alone. You feel like no one understands you. You have the violence going on. You also have the internal struggle. How can I fix this? What can I do? So there's a lot of loneliness. There's a lot of isolation. And so you can feel alone. I think why I stayed really took off, and I think it's because we want someone to let us figure it out on our own without any pressure. And, you know, I wanted that autonomy. And we have to give people the autonomy to make choices without imposing what we think is best for them. And I think that's part of the reason a lot of people feel so alone and isolated, is because if they look for help, help is not there. Or if they tell, you know, someone that they know, it's automatically you need to leave. And it's just, it's not easy to leave a person that you've built a life with, whether there's abuse or not. That's not easy. So add the element of abuse and violence and intimidation and fear. I mean, you just have a whole firestorm.
These hashtags go on and on. Happy Mama writes, why I stayed, because I was in love with him. Why I left, because he almost killed me. The Real Monica writes, the guilt and shame of losing your family, of not being able to fix it, meant more than safety and peace. That's why she stayed. Another says, because I believed I had nowhere else to go. I never told anyone because of embarrassment. Kitten writes, my children deserved a family, a home, financial support for me to fix it. That's why she stayed. Why she left? To save my children. Lori McDonald, you've seen so many of these cases. You've talked to so many women over the years. What did you make of Janae Rice's response? Telling the world, the media, if your intentions were to hurt us, embarrass us, make us feel alone, take all happiness away, you've succeeded on so many levels. She's not welcomed this public airing.
Well, and I totally understand that. And I've heard from thousands of women over the years, and the hashtags are the same. It's a difficult and a lonely situation to be in. And to address the caller as well, you know, if you go into a domestic violence shelter, it's community living. You've lost your privacy, your dignity. It's a short-term solution. It's very, very re-victimizing and demeaning, but it's also life-saving. So, that being said, Janae, I totally understand what she's saying, and I feel badly for her and for her family. You know, Ray Rice has a job. He worked all his life, as she said, to become an NFL player.
He had a job.
And, well, he had a
$35-40 million contract.
And that's kind of an issue too for her because, see, now they have nothing. She's been re-victimized so many times by people who've criticized her. Her husband is unemployed. She has no job, no money. She's going to lose her house. Her children she probably thought, well, my kids are going to have it made. They're going to have a college education, da, da, da. You know, they came out of a place that probably was a little more on the lower income side, and now they have all of this money, and now it's all gone. It's humiliating. It's embarrassing. And I don't see how it solves the problem.
Kevin Blackistone, you know the world of sport, and everyone's looking at this world this week. How do you think about this issue of re-victimization in this coming out and coming forward and being hashed over by the whole country, the whole world? Ray, I guess you could say maybe it's comeuppance, but Janae is victimized again, or at least sees it that way herself, and it's understandable.
Yeah. No, Ms. McDonald put it exactly right. In fact, I used to live a few blocks down the street from a safe house for women who suffered domestic abuse and used to donate materials there. And I was reminding talk show hosts the other day who I was on with talking about this issue who criticized Janae for not filing assault charges and all that. I told him, I said, you know, you have to understand that she has now been thrice victimized physically by her husband, emotionally by all of this, and as Laurie McDonald just reminded, financially. And you know, I'll add this. You know, when you add the specter of race, it is much, much more difficult, and it will be this way for Ray Rice, for men of color who have stained themselves with criminality to then go out and get another job. I mean, that's just statistically evident. And so this is a, you know, it is a huge blow to the entire family. And on top of that, they have a child.
Yeah.
They have a child. So, you know, I'm not.
But the whole point this week is think about that before you ball that fist and let it.
Absolutely.
Loose.
Absolutely. Mm-hmm. But in moments of emotion, you know, who thinks about all of those consequences? I will say this, you know, it does appear from the videotape that Ray Rice thought about it once the doors closed, which is, you know, it's just numbing.
What do you mean by that, Kevin?
Well, by that I mean if you watch the videotape, you know, you see them walk into the elevator, not together, seemingly apart, and then once the door closes, that's when the reaction happens. It just seems to me, and I'm not getting in Ray Rice's head here, but it seems to me that if this was boiling, he figured I'll do it behind closed doors, which is where most domestic violence mm-hmm. situations happen. And that's what's so remarkable about this is that this time everyone got an opportunity to see the full theater of domestic violence and not just the aftermath.
Beverly Gooden, I'm still thinking about, after all the reaction you've elicited, how you're thinking about Janae's circumstance and her reaction.
Well, you know, I mean, he's right. It usually always does happen behind closed doors. And the thing that is confusing to a lot of people on the outside is that the abuser is usually, you know, seems like in the public an upstanding citizen. They're great. I know with my ex-husband, everyone loved him. Everyone loved him. The community loved him. Our church loved him. People loved him. You know, he was a wonderful person. I loved him. So when it would happen behind closed doors, it was so jarring and confusing that you would think this won't happen again because this is not who he is, because he's all these things to the community and he's, you know, has such a good face out there. So this must be a temporary lapse in judgment. And then when it happens again and again and again, you begin to realize this might not be a temporary lapse in judgment. So for Janae, I understand what she's thinking, where she's at, and we just have to let her make her own decision when she feels comfortable and ready.
This hashtag tsunami just... so many responses. Here's Cecilia. Hashtag why I stayed. I wanted my son to have a father. Hashtag why I left. I wanted my son to have a mother. It can be very dangerous out there, and we've all seen that this week. I'm Tom Ashbrook. This is On Point. We'll be right back. Talking this hour about Janae Rice, Ray Rice, domestic violence all over, and the dynamics around it and inside it. Beverly Gooden is with us. She started the hashtag Why I Stayed, hashtag Why I Left movement. Lots of people all over the country and the world responding to those questions in situations, out of situations of domestic abuse. A huge outpouring of people sharing the really complex dynamics that go on inside a relationship that may have been, may be loving, but flawed and very often dangerous. Lori McDonald is with us, president and CEO of the Center for Victims in Pittsburgh. She's thought a lot about football and the NFL and the world well beyond, worked with a lot of women there. And Kevin Blackstone's with us, sports writer, frequent panelist on ESPN's Around the Horn, professor of journalism at the University of Maryland. More of these hashtag Why I Stayed. The first time he told me it was a mistake, he cried. I believed him. The second time I realized he was a liar. Hashtag Why I Stayed. I felt like a failure to the world and I didn't deserve better. Hashtag Why I Left. I had to call 911 too many times. Here's the then Baltimore Ravens running back Ray Rice at a press conference in July after having been given a 2-game suspension for domestic violence.
Violence of any kind, especially man on woman, is just not right. You know, it's not right, shouldn't be tolerated. It's not right for society, no matter what.
That was then. Now he's out. Speaking on NBC's Today Show Wednesday, Moesha Johnson, wife of Ray Rice's former Ravens teammate Chris Johnson, described how the Rice family's faring.
They're just feeling very ostracized, like you're not helping. Everybody is continually making us relive this when we're trying to heal and grow from this. So where's the help? Where's the support?
And here's Ray Rice's former teammate, wide receiver Torrey Smith, said that he stands by Rice as a person, but that the NFL was justified in releasing him from the team.
A lot of things are given to us, and we have to be held to a higher standard. So, I mean, obviously he's been, you know, suspended or, I guess, and definitely whatever they may be. But, I mean, the punishment's the punishment. It was tough, you know, what he did. It was you know, the punishment doesn't fit the bill.
Let's go to Liliana, calling from Oklahoma City. Liliana, thank you very much for calling. You're on the air.
Hi, Tom. Thanks for taking my call. Mm-hmm. And I wanted to make the comment that I was incensed when I saw that video of Ray Rice. I mean, the frustration that I feel with sports culture in general, it's one of the few industries left where sexism is so blatant. Women are shut out of it entirely. They have no value in this arena whatsoever. That compounded with the fact that athletes are viewed as demigods is a perfect recipe to devalue women, not only physically abusive-wise, but also in womanizing ways. You've seen the whole deal come down with Tiger Woods in a way that people reacted to it as if it weren't a big deal at all. I think that sports needs to turn itself around, be more inclusive of women and the value of women.
But, Liliana, what about Kevin Blackstone's retort saying, look, don't just bring all this criticism down on athletes, on NFL players. It's much wider than that. And also you risk bringing it down in a racial way here.
I mean, that might be true. And definitely domestic violence is a big issue that exists well outside of the sports arena. But whether athletes like it or not, they are role models. They are shaping the way that young men and young women grow up. They all aspire to be them, so they should be held to a higher standard. And I do feel like that athletes disproportionately have issues with domestic violence as opposed to the population at large. It is a big issue in sports, and I think, like I said, it's one of the few places where you can literally devalue women. You hit like a girl, you play like a girl, you look like a girl, and that is socially acceptable there.
Kevin Blackstone, how about it? Yes, it's a problem all over, but professional athletics is a sexist arena, Liliana says, and needs a special attention.
Well, there's no question that professional sports and basketball and football in particular is a cauldron of testosterone where women are often devalued in many different ways. But to bring that to the level of the perception that is out there that athletes, and in this case, football players, are disproportionately prone to domestic violence, I don't think is borne out by data. I know one of the Nate Silver writers tried to do that again a month or two ago and really struggled with trying to make that argument. I know Don Yeager and Jeff Benedict tried to do it 15, 20 years ago with a book that they wrote. And later, Jeff Benedict admitted that some of the data that they used was used incorrectly or interpreted incorrectly. But I just think that gets beyond the point. I mean, I understand that sports is on a platform and exists under a spotlight that nothing else does. But if we only focus on sports, I think that is doing a disservice to the struggle against domestic violence.
Laurie, you've dealt a lot with this. You've thought about football. You're there in Pittsburgh with the Steelers. Does sports have a special responsibility here, even if maybe the statistics can't be laid on the table to say it's a heavier issue in the sports arena?
Absolutely not. Domestic violence doesn't know any income level or any particular profession. I've seen heart surgeons. I've seen unemployed male workers. All sorts of people commit violent acts against women. I just want to mention real quick, too, mm-hmm. that tomorrow is the 40th anniversary of the passing of the Violence Against Women Act. So it's a little bit ironic that this is all coming out right now. It was an important act that Vice President Biden pushed forward. The Rice family, my heart breaks for them right now because they unfortunately became the family that really shined the light on domestic violence in this country, which needed to be done. And I think that in many cases, the system fails. The NFL does not have a prosecutorial arm. They really, these senators came out this week and said, we want a zero. The female senators came out and said we want a zero tolerance policy. The NFL should have a zero tolerance policy. Well, you know, I think it's more important to find out why do people batter? Why those hashtags where the girls talked about he cried? Why did he cry? You know, we need. There's so much. There's an entire pot of money in Harrisburg. Excuse me, I'm from Pittsburgh, but in the federal government, it's called the VOCA Fund. It's the Victims of Crime Act. It's all non-taxpayer money. It is all restitution, fines, assessments, things that people who are offenders have paid. It's put into a big pot of money, and it's to be used. It's mandated to be used solely for victim services, to provide services, do research, whatever, to figure out what we can do about violent crime in this country, and certainly domestic violence is at the top of the list. That fund, it started out rather small, but to this date, there's about $10.2 million in that fund. Think about it, $10.2 million. Every year, they give $800 million to victim services in this country. That extra additional money could do so much for research, for programs, to find the answers. Let's look at the answers instead of blaming the victim.
Beverly, let me come to you. With all the reaction you've had online, just an ocean of people responding here. I mean, I'm looking at more here, why I stayed, he convinced me I deserved it and provoked it. Why I left, I realized I was teaching my girls this was acceptable. Why I stayed, he made me believe I had no other choice. Why I left, I finally realized that leaving was the only choice. How do you see the sports arena against this ocean of reaction that you've got sort of drummed up here or invited, Beverly? Does sports have a special responsibility or problem?
I think we all have a special responsibility. I think that one of the things that I think the NFL really needs to do is create a comprehensive, forward counseling therapy type of program. I mean, in the NFL especially, these men hit each other all day. So in the NFL, you make more money if you hit people, you know, if you're good at being violent. And so how do you turn that off? We need to teach the people that are in the NFL, that are playing, the athletes, the players, that you have to turn that off. You know, and the other thing I wanted to mention is that not all men are abusers. So the thing is, there are men who provoked, angry, anything of that nature will not hit you. So there is a man that hits people because he is a man that hits people. So I think that's one of the things that we should bring up and focus on, especially with the provocation argument, is that you can be, I can be as provoked as I am. I've never hit my ex-husband. I can be provoked and not hit him because I'm not a person that hits. And so I think we need to focus more on that as well, instead of just making blanket statements.
Why I stayed, I felt shame being a single mother. Hashtag why I left, I felt worse knowing my daughter saw him hit me. Sam in Amherst, New York, you're on the air. Thanks for calling.
Yes, hi, Sam. Oh, sorry about that, not so high, Tom. Why I stayed, why I left, I think it's very complex, and I think it has to do with self-esteem. I was 18 when I went through such an experience that was 30 years ago. It impacted what I taught my girls. It influenced the kind of woman I became. I became very strong. I've taught my girls that, you know, some girls will experience this over and over. There are some girls who will not ever take this type of treatment. I don't know if it's more complex for the victim. I don't know if it's more complex for scholars who try to figure it out. But I'm listening to all the callers. I think the perpetrators, I think it's a problem for them. It's complex for them, too. I mean, it's a problem all the way around. It's not just with sports figures. It's just a human thing, a male, female. It's something.
Do you think that Ray Rice's now wife, Janae, has been punished by the way the world, the NFL, has handled this?
No, I don't. I think people, you know, can say whatever they want. If you have 100 people, they could say 100 different things. I think how she feels about it, what she needs to do for herself, you know, to get through it, to understand it, you know, to deal with it with her children. No, I don't think so.
Appreciate your call very much from Amherst there. Let's go to Detroit. Aaron is calling. Aaron in Detroit, thanks. You're on the air.
Yeah, hi. I'm going to make this as brief as possible. I don't want to take up too much time. Mm. I'm a survivor myself. What I wanted to
say. A survivor of what, Aaron? A survivor of what, sir?
Domestic abuse. My ex-wife abused me physically, verbally, emotionally, and I stayed because I loved her and I was trying to fix it. And when you're in that situation, you can't explain it to somebody that's not in the situation. Mm-hmm. It's an insanity almost to try to save what you once believed was mm-hmm. your relationship.
Yeah.
But what I want to say is what we should be outraged about, I think the moral outrage is being misdirected. What we should be outraged about is not that once the crime that he had already acknowledged and had been judged and sentenced for was seen on a video, how does the video change the gravity of his punishment? We are allowing public opinion to subvert or override the Constitution. The man has a right. I have not heard anything about him being a consistent abuser of all of this that we're charging him with. He lost control of himself, and there's obviously a moral break in his upbringing that allowed him to do that, but he needs help. He does not need to be thrown away for one incident. Every sports player of both sexes in every sport should be outraged at the ability to loot, that they can take somebody's livelihood because of a public opinion type thing. It's almost insane. I feel like I've woken up in a communist country where the media is the Chinese government or something.
The judge and jury all at once. Aaron in Detroit, I appreciate. I mean, you've been down this road yourself. You described that wild desire to fix it when you're in love, but it's not going right. Beverly Gooden, did the NFL underreact at first? Have they overreacted now?
I think that, you know, the caller is right. He does need help, but he also needs accountability. So in my opinion, you can't have one without the other. He can also receive help, but he also has to be held accountable for what he did. I can't really speak on whether or not the NFL, didn't punish him enough. I don't know the NFL well enough to say, but I do believe that he has to also be held accountable. We can't ignore it. It's here. It's in front of our faces. It's on our TVs. We've seen it. So yes, he has to be held accountable. He also does need help. And I totally understand what the caller is saying. When I was in my marriage, I wanted to help him. The first time he hit me was actually on my birthday, and he had thrown me a birthday party, and he felt like I wasn't as grateful for it as I should have been. And so he had been drinking, and he grabbed me by my neck and picked me up and threw me against the wall and started to choke me. And then when he let me go, he started to cry. And immediately my thought wasn't run, get out. It is what was wrong with you? Why did you do that? Are you, you know, what's happening right now. Mm-hmm. I wanted to work it out with him. So you have that element of it. So the caller is right. You definitely, when you're in it, you don't know. You don't know what's going on. It's confusing. It's emotional. My ex-husband hadn't had any type of violent reaction toward me for 10 months. So I had this whirlwind, beautiful, love at first sight, romantic relationship for 10 months. And then this suddenly happened. And so my initial reaction wasn't to run. It was to say, okay, what's wrong? How do we fix this? What do we do? So the caller is right. It's very confusing. It's, yeah.
Kevin Blackstone, mm-hmm. How do you think the NFL has handled this overall?
Extremely poorly. They have no idea what they're doing, which is clear from the fact that Ray Rice has now been suspended from the league. A few weeks ago, he was suspended for 2 games. They have no set policy to deal with personal conduct matters as they do with illicit drugs or performance-enhancing drugs. So they've done a very, very poor job. But, you know, I dare say they may very well mirror corporate America. I don't know that corporate America handles this any better. They have now hopefully learned a very, very painful lesson. I'll say this. I was talking to a college football coach the other day and about a whole other matter. And before we finished chatting, I mentioned the Ray Rice deal. And he pointed out to me that in the offseason, he had had a domestic violence counselor come in and talk to his team about how to deal with women in their lives. And I thought that was a very positive thing. And maybe something we need to do more of.
Maybe people in many realms can learn from that. The last word here, last words maybe, is going to go to a lot of people. Again, mainly women online in response to Beverly Gooden's hashtags. Emily writes, hashtag why I stayed. I was convinced his emotional abuse was my fault. Hashtag why I left. Because I realized someone else's actions are their choices. Beverly Gooden, you got a big thing going here. We can learn from it and have today. We thank you for joining us. Thank you so much for being here.
Thank you, Tom.
Lori McDonald at the Center for Victims in Pittsburgh. Lori, thank you very much.
Thank you, Tom.
And Kevin Blackstone, ESPN and more. Thanks as always, Kevin. I'm Tom Ashbrook. This is On Point.